Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has demonstrated his love for us, commending his love toward us and on our behalf while we were still sinning. God who loves us when we don't deserve it, when we have not responded to him in like kind. You ought to praise him every time you get a chance. The Bible says that God is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. It's in him that we live and move and have our very being. God is alive. Thank you, our song leader, for excellent. I passed by him, and he didn't have his bow tie on. I said, "You're not singing today?" And he wasn't really scheduled to sing. But I tell you, don't wear your bow tie next week, amen, when you are scheduled. Amen, amen. I think he was. But anyway, you did what I wanted you to do. I wanted to get a laugh from you. But excellent. All of those men, all of you men who worship and lead us in worship, thank you for the excellent way in which you carry out your responsibility to do things decently and in order. Those of you who are visiting with us know that you are honored guests. We appreciate your presence. It's always a joy to have visitors to come and to be with us in our service. Good to see all of the saints that are here this morning. You know, after I preach the first service, sometimes you get a little, you know, lethargic, and you're not up. But when I come and I see you here, and I see you sitting there, it seems like God just gives me another burst of energy to say, "Shelton, you're going to be all right." And so it's good to see you. It's good to see you here. I almost know where all of you sit now. Amen. Sister. Yeah, Sister Greggs, you usually sit over there. Amen. They moved you over here. Amen. Amen. But that's okay. I see you. I see you. You all usually sit over here. Amen. Y'all move ahead. You usually sit right over there. Amen. Y'all switch places today. Amen. But good to see everybody. Brother Booker, y'all usually sit two or three seats back. Amen. So I know, right? Amen, amen, amen. But I hope you feel as good about seeing each other as I feel about seeing you. Help me sing a verse of "My God is Real." There are some things I may not know. Oh, there are some places I cannot go, but I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Oh yes, God is real. He's so real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me, just like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. The state of the soul, a disciplined body. I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy 8. I want to read in your hearing again, verses 1 through 5. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, fed you with the manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. I want to use for a subject the origin and the discipline, the origin and the discipline of true success. All of us must admit that we're living in a success-oriented world, especially those of us who live in the Western Hemisphere of this world. Our culture is that which permeates success everywhere. We worship it. We worship it from the cradle all the way to the grave. Success simply means accomplishments. If one is successful, then that means that he has many accomplishments. Accomplishments monetarily is success. Accomplishments educationally is success. Accomplishments professionally, we deem it as success. To have accomplishments socially, we deem that as success. We actually have an obsession with success. We believe in stardom. People want to be a star. People identify with winning. You don't want to be a part of a losing team. You want to be a part of a winning team. And we love those who are winners. I enjoy seeing Stephen Curry hit a three from midcourt and hit nothing but net. I say to myself, oh, what a successful young man. He must be making a whole lot of money. He can do that. If you don't like him, you just hating on him. That's all you're doing. Fine young man. Well, anyway, we love and have an obsession with success. We judge it by the clothes that we wear, the houses we live in, the cars we drive, and the jewelry that we wear. Usually we say this is a successful individual. May I hasten to say to you that success is not wrong within itself. As long as a man knows the origin of it and one understands the discipline of it. This is what our lesson teaches us today.
that surely there is a beginning, there is a cause, there is a foundation and a starting point for success, may I hastily say to you that success originates with God. God is the author of success. And we know that to be a fact because of the way that he created the world in which we live. The world in which you and I are blessed to live in is a world that has been created for our success. Everything that is here, God wants us to be successful. So the origin of it did not start with man. The origin of it comes out of a God who is successful in everything that he does. So please know where success begins. It begins with God. God is the one who blessed us with it, and God is the one who gives us the power to even be successful. But then, ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand that in our text, there is a discipline that goes along with it. God understands success, and so God blesses us with it, but he blesses us with it as we are disciplined thereby. In our text today, the children of Israel are standing on the east bank of the Jordan River. Now, I want you to picture this. Millions of Israelites are standing on the east bank of the Jordan River, preparing to cross over into the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land that flows with milk and honey. They are preparing to go in and successfully possess the land. And that land, that word possess simply means that you're going to go in and occupy. You're not going to pass through it. You're going to go over there and occupy it. When you go over there to occupy it, you're going to be able to do so with me weeding out and taking care of the occupants that are there. God is simply saying that I am going to cause you to possess this land. But yet you need to understand that this really typifies anybody who wants to be successful, and you're at the beginning of something and you want it to be successful. You ought to really listen closely to our lesson this morning, because I'm going to show you where success comes from, and I'm going to show you the discipline that goes with it that God will bless. If you are, you know, preparing to marry, or you're newlywed, success is guaranteed if you follow what God is going to say to you. If you are an entrepreneur and you're trying to start a business and you want your business to be successful, you can be successful if you follow God's plan here today. You know, if you are, you know, a young couple that's married and you're beginning to begin a family, I want you to understand that success can be and will be any person who belongs to God, follows God, and allows God to discipline them through this thing called success. Verse number one. Listen to what he says. He says, all the commandments. Here's the first thing that you must understand. How are we disciplined by success? What is it? What are the components that make up success? Here's number one. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply. Notice he says, the commandments which I command, observe to do. Know them and then do them. If you do that, you may live. You may prosper. You may succeed. You may multiply, or you may increase. God is simply helping us to see, as he deals with his people Israel, leading them in the path of success. It all starts with you observing. And that's not a casual observing. That is you paying close attention to what I teach and what I command. And if you do what I command, God says you will live. And live carries the idea you will prosper. You will be successful, succeeding. That's what live means in our text. So you and I must understand that number one, The word of God must be followed. You get the word in your life, observe it and do it. Then success. You married, learn the commandment of God. Do the commandment of God. You guarantee success. Starting a business, learn the word of God. Do the word of God. God will bless and succeed, give you success in your business. And the reason I can give you this guarantee is because God guarantees it. I didn't guarantee it. I wouldn't say it if I were doing it. But God says that you'll have success if you follow my word and follow my commandment. David understood that when he wrote Psalm 1. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is where? In the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he what? Meditate how? Day and night. And when he does that, he shall be like a tree planted by the what? Rivers of water. Here is our success. It bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth. That's a promise. If you take the word of God, and I know that it doesn't sound like anything that you would get from any other source other than the church where the word of God is preached, that your success is very much dependent on you meditating and following and knowing the word of God. And if you do that, God said, I will give you success. You'll be just like that tree by that river of water. And your leaf will not wither. And whatever you do, God says, you shall prosper. 1 Thessalonians 3:8, Paul speaking to the Thessalonian church. He says, For now we live. Here's our word live, which means now we prosper. Now we are successful. How? If you stand fast in the Lord, don't ever separate success from God's word. Don't ever separate success from God. God is the author of success. His word is the recipe for success. And anybody who wants it, you can have it, but you've got to follow what God's saying. So stand fast in the Lord and follow after his word. Verse number 2, we have some more insight into the discipline of success. He says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. May I just work with that part first. If you want to be successful and God bless you, you're going to have to learn to have a good memory. You're going to have to remember how God deals with you. You're going to have to remember every time you come out of something and you know God is the one who blessed you, you ought to write it down. You know, you ought to write it down. You ought to keep a journal of how God helped you and how God got you over. You know, the Bible talks about an Ebenezer. You know, we ought to count our Ebenezers. We ought to count when God does something for us when we know that we didn't do it for ourselves. Always keep God in front of you. Don't ever think that you're the cause of your success. Success comes from God. God wants us to know, based on Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6, Paul speaking to the brethren at Philippi, he says that he which began a good work in you, he will continue it until the end or to the day of Jesus Christ. And the reason is because Paul knows this. Watch this. Please hear me well. He knows, based on what he has learned from God, that God never starts something that he does not finish. God never moves a people in a place that he does not give them the ability to take the place. You and I are going to have to learn that success should never be separated or divorced from God. Young people, please hear me. You're leaving high school and you're going off into college. You better take God's word with you. And you better make sure that you understand that God is the one who brought you from, I know your mother and father did it, but God blessed them to be able to rear you for 12 18 years. Now I want to cut you short. For 18 years preparing you. God is a good God. Keep a journal. In our text, the Bible says, I want you to remember these 40 years that I have kept you. Can you imagine having a journal of how good God has been and what God has done for you for 40 years? I mean, if you keep a journal for 40 years of what God has done, I mean, you know, we forget, but God said, you're going to have to remember. And if you can just remember how you made it through those 40 years, God says that when you cross over and you go over into the land of Canaan and you remember your past, God said that that's where your success is going to come. So we got to have a good memory of what God has done. Keep a ledger of what God has done. Keep a book of remembrance about what God has done. But then the Bible says, and this is where it really becomes a little tough for us to comprehend, but God says that I did this, I led you this way for 40 years in the wilderness. Help me to understand how success in the wilderness. Well, if you're dealing with God says success starts when you are in the wilderness. And the reason that I got to carry you in the wilderness is because I need to humble you. You know, we are, man as a whole is very arrogant, very prideful, self-centered. And God can't bless you and God can't give you success because you're all in the way. God said, if I could ever get you out of the way, get you out of the way of yourself. God said, I think I can handle the blessing part. And I can give you success. God says that I need to humble thee. And I need to prove thee. Two things, humble thee and prove thee. When you talk about humble, he means I got to beat you down. Before I raise you up, I got to beat you down. Before I get you over there in all that success, I got to make you abased. I got to put you in depression. A lot of people have difficulty understanding God's ways, but I'm just telling you that God said that I did this to humble thee, that I might know what was in thine heart. God said, I got to know what's in your heart. But not only should, because I believe God already knows what's in our heart, but God wants you to go through testing so you'll know what's in your heart. See, a lot of us say, oh, I know me. No, you don't know you until God puts you in the fire. Until God puts you in the wilderness and puts you where you are in need of something. Are you with me? And I'm going to tell you something else. You know, it's very difficult for us to really appreciate success if we haven't been in the wilderness. It's hard for us to appreciate success if all we've ever had is a silver spoon in our mouth. Sometimes God needs to fix it where you don't have a spoon. Amen. Before you can enjoy. Amen. And so that's the whole idea that God seems to be saying. The way to success is first through the wilderness. It's through me humbling you and proving you, which means that I got to put you into a test. I just believe that this is not only to help you and I come to a knowledge of what is in us, but I also believe that it is designed for the people who don't know God, but know us. And when they learn of us, and they see us going through the wilderness, and they see us having to depend on God, that when they see you finally make it, then they know you've made it not because of your own self, but you made it because you trusted God. In other words, God wants a testimony. The preacher preached not too long ago, Brother Tillman, about we need to learn to be billboards for God. God wants us to be testimonies to the world that it doesn't matter about whether we're in the wilderness. It doesn't matter if I'm abased or if I'm going through suffering. In spite of it all, I still trust God, and God is still my witness. Now, Israel failed. That first generation failed. But Moses is trying to get this second generation to know you're going to have to trust God, and you're going to have to allow God to discipline you. A lot of us don't want to be disciplined. And some of us, because we're so stubborn, he disciplines us a long time. Amen. 40 years. Amen. That's, you know, when I was getting a whipping at home, I used to go on and cry. So my daddy, you know, would go on and have mercy on me. Amen. But if I sit there, it don't hurt. I just keep getting a, you know, until it does hurt. Well, go on and say it hurts, God. Well, anyway, I thought I'd try to help you, but that's all right. Go on and act crazy. All right. I'm trying to get you out of the wilderness as quick as you can. All right. Good point, Shelton. Good point. Good point. Good point. We all need to learn that God is going to carry you through discipline. There's no way for God to give you success without discipline and without him testing you. You know, we test automobiles. You know, I know what the car that you drive, you have knowledge of it because it's been through tests. They tell you how many miles per gallon. They tell you, you know, what kind of gas to put in it because that car goes through testing. And because it's gone through testing, now you have a knowledge of the car. And you can better appreciate the car because of the testing that went into the car. You know. But anyway, I don't want to get too far into that. But let me give you another example. You know, the Food and Drug Administration will test your food. And that's why they require labels on the back of it. And so they give you warnings. And so when you pick up something and you read it and you say, oh, it has this in it, it has that in it, that's because it's been tested. And you have knowledge of it and you feel good about it. You can be successful in taking it because and eating it because the Drug Administration has gone through a period of testing. God says that my people that I'm going to give success to, I've got to carry them through testing. That's why the Bible says, count James chapter 1, verse number 2, count it all joy when you fall into divers testings or temptation. And the reason is because God is going to test us. God is going to humble us. Number one, God is going to humble us, carry through the wilderness to humble us. Then he's going to test us. Come out of the testing, believing that God is going to take care of you. Now let me read verses 3 and 4, and I will be hastening toward a conclusion. Now listen to this, because this is very beautiful. Same thing, he humbled thee, you with me? And suffered thee to what? Hunger. And fed thee with what? Oh, don't miss this. Please don't miss this. He humbled thee. Then he what? Suffered thee to what? Hunger. Then he what? Fed thee. Watch the way it goes. Humbled thee, suffered thee, and then fed thee. Some of us want to be fed. But God said, no, the order is, I'm going to humble thee, suffer thee, then I'm going to feed thee. But here's something else that's beautiful. That he knewest not. In other words, God said, I'm gonna make you hunger, but I'm going to make you hunger for something that you know in the past that was good for you or good to you. You're going to hunger for a Big Mac. You're going to hunger for, you know, whatever. Thank you, sir, before I get to call in the roll on something that's not good for us. Now, all right, but listen to what I'm saying. Here's what God is saying. God says, just to show you how powerful I am, when I bless you, I'm going to bless you with something that you have no knowledge of. I'm going to bless you with something that you never even thought. You had not even the slightest idea that this is the way I was going to bless you. Now I put you in that wilderness, and I suffered you, I humbled you, and I made you hungry in that wilderness. And when I got ready to feed you, guess what I fed you with? I fed you with bread from heaven. In other words, nobody's going to manufacture this bread.
Your mama not going to make this bread. God is trying to show us his providence and his power. Oh, don't miss this, young people. God is trying to show you that if you follow my word and you march out on my command and you take my word at heart and you do what I tell you to do, even though you may go through some suffering and through some pain and some humility, understand this, that when I do bless you, nothing will be able to touch it. And to keep you humble, I'm not going to overpower you with it. I'm going to fix it where you can only get it today, and then you're going to have to wait for me again on tomorrow. See, our problem is that if God blesses us, then we want to start hoarding. Stockpiling. But I'm going to be dealing with this for a few, but just remember that point, because I'm coming back to that point. Because God fixes this thing where we got to stay dependent on him. But man, when he blesses us, God does a beautiful job. I want to show you how important the word of God is as it relates to blessing. Go to Isaiah 55, and I want to look at verse number 8. Isaiah 55, verse number 8. Now, I want you to watch this. Just watch this. Isaiah 55, 8. It was there. Did I mess up? Okay, here it is. Beautifully. Watch this. Just watch this. For my thoughts are what? Nor what? Your ways what? Saith the Lord. So don't ever think you can figure me out. Now, the way I'm going to lead you, don't get ahead of me. You'll never be able to figure out how I'm doing what I'm doing or why I'm doing what I'm doing. Don't ask me why I blessed this one and didn't bless this you. Now, stay out of my business. Stay out of my business. Because you can't think like I think, nor act like I act. It don't work like that. Watch verse number 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Never come together. Verse number 10. Now this is where I really want you to pay attention. For as the rain cometh down. Now he's using a comparison between rain, and we got a lot of it last week, didn't we? All right, now watch this. For as the rain comes down and the snow from where? From where? And do not return where? It doesn't go back, right? Once it comes down, it doesn't go what? But what does it do? It waters the earth. And make it what? That it may what? Give what? Seed to the sower and what? Bread to the eater. Now watch the next verse. So shall my word be that goes forth. I don't know. He said, I got to teach you, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of my mouth. Don't ever put your bread above my word. My word is where the power is. It's not in the bread you eat. It's in the word that I speak. Man, when I give my word is so powerful, it'll do whatever I want it to do. Don't ever get caught up on things. Because the God who made those things is greater than the things. And I did it by my word. And I'll never let my word come out of my mouth and it does not accomplish what I say it's going to accomplish. I'm just too powerful for it not to happen. So can't nobody stand between you and your blessing. When God gets ready to give you success, there is nobody can stand between you and God. Our problem is that we get ahead of ourselves. We don't want to wait on God.
He didn't say it accomplished what you please. Now that's something else. We got to put our order into God. God, will you fill my order? I know I'm going too long. And it shall prosper in the what? In the thing for which what? If God ever sends a blessing for you, Bob, it's going to happen. I don't care how many haters you got. You always want to stay on whose side? Verse number 12. For you shall what? Go out with what? And be laid out with what? Mountains and the hills shall what? Before whom? And all the trees of the field shall what? No, you missed what he said right there. Let me tell you. He says that I am so powerful that I can make the trees, the mountains, and everything else do what I want, and I'll make them clap for you. That's a powerful God. Now, I know it's a metaphor. I know it's a metaphor, but he can really do it. He really can. He can make the rocks cry out. If he can make a donkey talk, I know he can do what he does. Our problem is that we don't want to be disciplined. Always crying. Yeah, boomy. Say it again. If you want me to say it again, I know you got it the first time. Yeah, you got it, you got it. You know. Why complain if you know God? God's got it. Now, it'd be something if you thought God was overlooking you. How can God overlook you? No, God's got us. Listen to what he says. I'm going back to verse 3 and 4. I'm going to verse 4. The raiment waxed not old upon thee. He said, when I brought you through the wilderness, he said, you ain't had to go to the dry cleaners. You didn't have to stop by Walmart and buy some more clothes. That's a powerful God. Now I get somebody to say, but Brother Gibbs, you mean to tell me God can make my clothes last that long? He said he did. Now I'm gonna show you something else. Now I know y'all not gonna agree with me. Now don't y'all tell the first service, because I'm telling y'all a whole lot more than I told them, but I'm gonna tell you. But listen to me well. Your clothes will last a whole lot longer. I'm talking about the clothes you have now. Your car would last a lot longer. You wouldn't always have to go and get it repaired so much. You wouldn't keep having flat tires. I mean, when a man's ways please the Lord, and he letting the Lord guide him and lead him, God puts a hedge all around you. Devil knew it because he questioned Job. Told God, you move the hedge and I'll make him curse you. And I said, okay, you can have him.
But Job wasn't crazy. Job knew where his blessing would come from. Job knew his blessings came from God. He said, though you slay me, yet shall I trust you. In all of my appointed days, I'm going to wait till my change comes. So I'm telling you, discipline comes when you and I, first of all, understand success comes with discipline. And it comes with discipline from God. And this last one is verse number 5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord God chasteneth thee. I don't want to deal with chasing. I won't deal with chasing, but I want to deal with son. Watch the difference. Deal with son. God says, I chasten you as a father chasing his what? So what is he telling Israel? He's telling Israel that you my son. You my firstborn son. I got my son standing at the east side of the Jordan River. And I know my son. If my son follow me, I'm going to take him through that Jordan River. I'm going to take him into the land of Canaan. And I'm going to bless my son. I'm going to give him houses he did not build. Vineyards that he did not plant. Why? Because he's my son. Man, when a man has a son, and he loves his son, and his son is obedient, he may even buy him a car. But if he's not obedient, and you know he's hard-headed, how many times you going to bless him with something like that? Amen. Boy, you're not ready for no car. You can act like you're ready, but you ain't ready. You won't even come in. You won't even make up your bed. Amen. Don't want to help your mom around the house? And you're going to ask me for a car? Oh, no car you're going to get. But make up your bed. Help your mama. Be respectful. Amen. Make good grades. Amen. What am I going to hold back from a boy like that? Amen. I said boy, but I'm talking about a female too. Amen. God is trying to show us that there's a relationship between he and us that is guaranteeing success if you stay with me. Amen. Honor me, respect me. And I'll take you on your job, and I'll fix you where you on your job. Can't nobody keep you from being successful. Amen. Now, some of us, we hear this, and we won't even come to service like we should. Amen. Won't even come back on Sunday night. Okay, let me go back. Let me start again. Won't even come consistently on Sunday. Amen. And will not come back on Sunday night. I'm trying to get an amen on the second one. Amen. But yeah. God, I need you to help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. You won't even come to service. And then when the collection plate is passed by, you won't even give. You nickel and dime God. But I need you to send me God. Help me to be successful. Here's the plate. Show me that you respect me. Show me that you know I gave you the money that you have. Now God understands. Yeah, he understands. He surely does. You need some more discipline. And that's why we stay in the shape that we're in, is because a lot of times we don't know the formula. The formula is to follow God, amen, keep his commandments, observe his commandments, keep a record on how God blesses you. If you do that and know that He's going to discipline you. There's no way for you to get out of this life without being disciplined, because you are his child. He's going to do whatever he can to get you where you need to be. So God bless you. Do you want to be his child? Do you want him to claim you? Then you have to come to Jesus, because he is the firstborn. He is the one that God gave for all of us to obey and to render obedience to. And when we do that and become a part of his body, the church, the only church you can read about in the Bible, which is the church of Christ. And when you submit yourself to his command to become a part of his body, that is hearing the gospel and believing it with all of your heart and repenting of your sin and confessing him to be the Son of God and buried with him in the water grave of baptism. And when you go through that water, I know you don't understand what's in the water. He ain't asked you to. He just told you to get in it and what God will do, what he said he would do. Two precious souls, one on Friday, we introduced them this morning. And then another just before the second service. I believe there's some others who need to have God as their father. But you got to come to his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Be a part of the family of God and obey him. And I guarantee you God guarantees you through his word. And I'm stupid enough to trust it. That if you said it, God, I believe it. And I'm going to be a fool. And I'm going to be a fool enough to trust it. Amen. And that is that I'm going to put all of my care in your hands. Will you come to God? If you strayed from him, come back right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing? How are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace? This hour are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Oh, in the blood, oh, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
888.
Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Oh, in the blood. Oh, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And when the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white,
in the blood
of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion's bride and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will